ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
In fact, before Gideon could defeat the Midianites, he'd have to take care of the situation in his own home, really his own community as well. This is kind of strange. Again, Gideon's dad, probably his family and friends as well, probably the whole community, as we're going to see, were worshiping these false gods that Gideon's dad had set up. Does that mean Gideon probably worshiped them? I would think so at one time, because this is what Gideon's dad set up, Joash. Now, God tells Gideon, I want you to cut these things down. I want you to destroy this altar, cut down that image, get rid of it, and offer to me a burnt sacrifice. Do you think anyone would notice if he did it? Absolutely. I mean, think about it like this. You know, you've come to Christ. The old things have passed away. All things are new. And when you came to Christ, didn't you have to cut down, destroy some of those things you did before you were saved? Well, of course you did. Of course. Maybe you were into drugs, and your friends, of course, they were into drugs as well. But you've come to Christ and been delivered from that lifestyle, and you have to cut off those ties with those close friends that were doing drugs. Now, I know some will say, well, how will they come to Christ? Well, let me say this. If you hang around them, you're going to find yourself back into doing drugs. You have to be wise. You know, maybe that's a ministry for someone else. You know, someone who's an alcoholic, a bar ministry most likely is not going to be a ministry they're going to be involved in, hanging out at the local bar witnessing of Jesus, because they have a problem here. Be careful, be wise. Now, if God calls you to it, he'll equip you, but it's usually not the case like that. Turn to Psalm 1. I want to read Psalm 1 to you, because you see this progression in Psalm 1. We're told this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, notice who this blessed man is. He is one who doesn't follow down this destructive path. And it is a destructive path that takes you down farther and farther away from God, away from the blessedness that God has for you. And as you look at this, you see this gradual progression of this person who's sinking deeper into this pattern of sin. You know, first, they're walking with the ungodly. They're just walking with them. Nothing big. Kind of being with them. Casual relationship, you might say. But then, as we move on, they're not only walking with them, now we're standing with them. We're hanging out together. It's not a casual influence upon our life anymore. And finally, he's sitting with them, in fellowship with them, agreeing with their sin and probably mocking the things of God. How many people travel down this road that leads to destruction, as Solomon warned us of in Proverbs 14:12? There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I mean, I think it's a wake-up call for people not to go down that path that leads to death. We've come out of that lifestyle. Don't go back into it as you hang around those that do, because they're going to pull you down. I shared with you before, you know, if say I'm a Christian and I'm standing up on a chair here and you're not a Christian and I'm trying to pull you up, it's kind of hard to do. But if you want to pull me down to where you're at, off that chair, how easy it is. Something we have to be wise at. It's a gradual progression. I mean, I don't think the children of Israel woke up one morning and said, hey, we're going to set up some idols. It was a gradual progression until they reached that point that they were so far away from God. We got to be wise. You know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:11 said, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You've come out of that lifestyle. Don't go back into it. Jesus said, "If the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed." So I want you to clearly see what God has done in you and admonish you not to go back to that old lifestyle that had you in bondage. You got to put that old life behind and walk ahead in the new life that Christ has given you. Believe me, the world is trying to mold you into its image. And they are really, really good at it. Really good at it. Look at churches today who have taken on the atmosphere of the world. And they don't teach from the scriptures. Why? Because they want to fit in with the world. And again, I've let you in on the secret before, but in case you forgot, the world's never going to like us. Never. They're just not. Why? Because we stand up for the things of God. They're never going to like us. The only hope, the only promise we have is that they would come out of that world and come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But if they get us to become like them, the light goes out and we become dimmer and dimmer. And before long, as you look in the book of Revelation, Jesus is writing to the church of Laodicea and he's outside the church knocking to get in. That's how far away we can move from God. We have to be careful. Gideon's family was involved in idol worship. Now Gideon's come to God. And that love for God is going to be manifested in the things he does. He's going to cut down those idols, remove them from his life and from his family and from his community as well. You know, sometimes taking a stand for what we believe in is hard, but we see the work of God as God calls Gideon here. And from here, we're going to look at what's manifested in the life of Gideon, or Gideon takes a stand. And look at verse 27 here in Judges chapter 6. "So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night." Now, some read this and they kind of see a lack of faith on Gideon's part because he did it at night. One writer put it like this: "Gideon decided to obey the Lord at night when the village was asleep. This showed his fear. He wasn't sure God could or would see him through. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." After all the encouragements God had given him, Gideon's faith should have been strong. But before we judge him, we better look at ourselves and see how much we trust the Lord. You know, yes, Gideon did this at night. And he took 10 men with him. But I don't think he was lacking faith. Was he nervous about doing this? Yes. Was he fearful? Yeah, it says so. He still did the work. Let's think this through. Gideon was fearful, yeah. But the fear didn't stop him from doing the work that God called him to do. And it tells me he was looking for God to give him this victory. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it in the first place. That's a good thing. Fear didn't stop him. It just helped him to get refocused. Secondly, these 10 men that he got help with, I don't think that was a lack of faith. Cutting down this wooden image, destroying this altar, I mean, that was a huge task. He needed help. And the third point that shows me that he didn't lack faith is when he went to accomplish this task. He came at night because he was fearful, but I think we need to, you know, cut him a little slack here. What was going on during the day? People were gathering around the altar. They were gathering around this image, worshiping it, right? Offering their sacrifices on it. We need to cut this stuff down. I don't think that was going to happen. And really, God didn't tell him day or night. He just said, "I want you to do this." And that's exactly what he did. He obeyed the Lord, destroyed this pagan worship site. Let me illustrate this kind of faith like this, and I think you'll see what I mean. There's an easy way and a practical way to have faith. A minister said to an evangelist who was holding services in his church, "I have no faith in this matter, but I see it in the Word of God, and I'm going to act on God's Word no matter how I feel." And the evangelist responded, "Why, that is faith." You see, the Word of God is the secret of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we don't attain or achieve faith. We simply receive it as we read God's Word. I think many people miss out on God's rich blessings because we fail to walk by faith. We need to look unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. And think about it. Simple faith is just trusting in God's word, believing it. Like I said, with this whole, you know, coronavirus thing, it didn't move me at a bit. It did unsettle me. Because when it's time for me to go home, I'm going to go home. But I also have to obey what God's word says. Because people, you know, were upset. Why don't we have church? They're trying to close us down. My response is Romans 13 and what Peter had to say also in his letter is that we need to obey government until the government says all churches are closed down. You can't talk about Jesus anymore. You can't talk about the Bible. Then I obey God rather than man. You see, our witness is during the good times and the bad times. And I think that the bad times have come upon us. Are we prepared to walk by faith to trust God in his word? I will be with you. I will never forsake you. I'm never going to leave you. So no matter how hard it gets, can we just walk with joy? Because if only people hear us complain, what good is that? Believe me, I worked in critical care for long enough years. I cried with many of my patients and family members when they died. God doesn't say be stoics and be emotionless. We are to care for people, reach out to them, have compassion towards them. But don't let fear drive you. Let the word of God guide you. And I think that's an important thing. And I think that's what Gideon was doing. You know, Gideon had the word of God. Remember what God said to him. Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. And Gideon sets up this altar to worship God by, and he calls the altar the Lord Shalom. The Lord's my peace. That's where it's at. You know, I know I've said this a lot, but you know, how many of you, after you're done watching local or national news, are at peace? All right, so none of you, right? But that's not where our peace is found. Jesus didn't say, in the news, you will have peace. No, he said, in me, you will have peace. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Oh, praise God. There's a promise in him. I could look to him no matter what I'm going through. And I think that's what we see. Look at the life of Paul. Look at the disciples of Jesus. Look at, you know, first and second century, the millions of Christians that were put to death for their faith. They kept their eyes on Jesus and they shined for him. And that's what we're called to do. Is it difficult? Yeah. We walk by faith, not by sight. One writer said, however, I'm learning that fleshing out those words, that simple concept, can be a much tougher assignment. It requires tremendous courage and strength. You must be willing to be misunderstood and even abandoned. You must be willing to give up any semblance of control of your life that you thought you might have. You must be willing to look like a complete fool. But it is a journey of tremendous blessing and reward. It's a journey that is exciting, life-altering, and mind-boggling. It's a journey that will allow you to see and experience God as he was meant to be in all his fullness and grace. Walking by faith and not by sight requires you to go to a place you do not know, one that God will reveal as you walk in obedience. Just look at Abraham as an example. Walking by faith means that you continue to cling to the dreams God has planted in your heart. Even when you've been thrown away, taken to prison for crimes you didn't commit, just look at Joseph and all he endured. Walk by faith requires a strong determination to follow God's plan regardless what life throws your way. Look to Daniel to discover how to have the resolve not to sin. Walking by faith means you have to have the courage to stand up for the hurting, broken, and downtrodden, to face death yourself for the good of others. Look at Esther and how she risked the death penalty to save the Jews. You just may have to play the part of a fool. Think about Noah building an ark for a flood when it had never rained on the earth. Think about Abraham clinging to the promise that he would be a father of many nations, even though he was childless at the age of 100. Think about Moses standing before the Israelites in the wilderness, telling them they would eat meat until it disgusted them, but having no idea where the meat would come from. Think about Joshua marching around the walls of Jericho as God had told him to and wondering what good it was going to do. If you choose this path, you must be willing to get out of your comfort zone, to run from the Americanized brand of Christianity that so many of us have known our entire lives. You must be willing to let God take you, your world, and turn it upside down, shake it up, and start all over again. You must be willing to let God out of the neat little box that you have put him in to let him show up as he sees fit. Maybe it will be a calling to do something you never dreamed before, foster or adopt children, leave your job and become a missionary, trade in the worldly comforts for heavenly treasures. Maybe it won't be that clean and neat and socially acceptable. Maybe, like me, your world will be turned upside down by the pain of adultery and divorce. Or maybe you'll be faced with infertility or addiction. Maybe you'll have a prodigal child that completely changes the direction of your life. Or maybe you've experienced the loss of a child, a hurt like no other. I don't know what your shakeup might look like, but I know that if you will give it to God, throw up your arms and surrender, and ask him to use it to change your life, he will honor your request. He will take you on a journey, teach you to walk by faith, and trust you with some of the most tremendous moments. Absolutely. That's what God is doing. We're all on a journey, guys. All of them are difficult. Some may be a little harder than others, but God knows exactly what we need. And he's going to see us through every one of them. Think about this for Gideon. We'll see it in a minute here. Gideon, I want you to go back home, take down the altar of Baal, chop down that wooden image of Asherah. Really? That's what you want me to do? That's my family's, where the community gathers. They're going to kill me. But we don't see Gideon say that or do that. He follows through with what God called him to do. You know, almost 25 years ago now, the Lord called me up here to Manitowoc. And when I left my job, man, people at work thought I was crazy. How could you be going up? You don't even know one person up there. How could you do that? I mean, I was getting paid really good back then. I mean, I worked in the open heart unit, and man, it's great. Had a wonderful home, beautiful home in Schaumburg. We could never afford living there today. And the church we went to was awesome. My pastor, I love my pastor. And people were like, wow, you're going up there? This is where God called me. And it was foolish to them, but I knew exactly what God had called me to do. And haven't you ever felt that way before? You know what God has called you to do, and you take that step, and everyone goes, you're crazy. Are you kidding me? You go, no, I know what God called me to do. You know, when we applied with the FCC for the radio station, we had nobody in the church that could run the radio station. And you know me with my tech abilities, right? What are you laughing at? Okay. But yeah, I have no tech abilities, okay? I mean, I've got this little iPad now that, you know, praise God it's working, because I'd be in trouble. And yet God put it upon my heart, apply with the FCC for this radio station. And it took a while. It was probably over a year. We got approval from the FCC the same day that they kicked us out of the other building. We didn't have how could we even put up a radio station? We don't even have a church building anymore. But God was in control. I look at it now and we had the 28-foot tower because the city wouldn't let us put up the bigger one. And then just a few years ago, we were going to put up a 45-foot steeple because they said you can go 15 feet above a steeple or largest part of your building with an antenna. I'm like, all right, well, got a contractor in here. He's like, well, why don't you just put up an antenna? I'm like, well, they won't let us. So he went to the city. He goes, why won't you let them put up an antenna? And the city said, oh, you could do it. You know what? God is amazing. So you just have to walk by faith. You look at it and it goes, that doesn't make sense. Why would you even try to do that? Well, God can do amazing things. Just walk by faith. Was Gideon out of his comfort zone? There is no doubt. But Gideon wanted to be used by God. I think all of us want to be used by God. And he had to do that. He had to start out by destroying the altar of Baal, tear down this image of Asherah, and he had to build an altar to God and sacrifice to the Lord just as the Lord told him. This is a walk of faith. So Gideon let go of the past. He pressed on towards the upward calling that God had given him. Gideon takes a stand. Now here's the thing. And this is kind of funny because it happens over and over again. When you take a stand for God, doesn't everything go smoothly? There's no problems at all? Are you kidding me? Everything goes wrong, right? There's always trouble. And that's what we see here. Gideon takes a stand for God. He does what God wants him to do. And then what happens? The enemy rises up. Look at verses 28 through 30 here in Judges 6. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down. And the wooden image that was beside it was cut down. And the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So they said to one another, "Who has done this thing?" And when they had inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing." Then the men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out your son, that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it." So look at what's happening here. Gideon at night cuts down this image, tears down the altar with his 10 men. It sets up an altar for the Lord, and second bull is being offered on it. And as morning comes, the men of the city come to worship their gods, right? And they were torn down. And these guys are not happy now. All they had to worship their gods by was no longer there. It was just a pile of rubble. And so they're looking for the person who did this. Who would do this to us? And they searched, and it didn't take them long, and they found out Gideon did it. Gideon did this to their gods. And so once they found out who it was, they call for Joash, Gideon's dad. "Bring out your son. He's going to die for this. He's going to be put to death. He destroyed our place of worship to the god Baal and Asherah." Now, how great is your God if you could destroy it, right? I mean, they should have had a V8 moment or something. I mean, come on, guys. Here's what happens for us. You know, initially, when we come to Christ, when we're serving the Lord, when God is moving, the enemy is going to try and stop us, and he'll do anything and everything to accomplish that task. You know, when I was back in Illinois, there was some young kids that had come into the church, Calvary there, and they were, you know, into drugs, and they got saved. And they were freed. And their family were upset. They came to Jesus and they gave up drugs. Do you even get it? You shake your head. Are you crazy? They've been set free. You want them in bondage again? You want them destroying their lives? But their family was into drugs and alcohol, and so they wanted their children into it too. Wow. Think about this. For years now, they're worshiping these false gods. Did Satan care? No, go ahead, worship them. That's great. Now these false gods are destroyed. They're worshiping the true and living God, and Satan rises up and gets these men to work for him, calling for the destruction of this man of God, Gideon. We have to remember that opposition doesn't mean it's a closed door. I mean, study the life of Paul. If opposition meant that the door was closed for us to go further, Paul would have never gone anywhere. I mean, he was always facing difficulty. In fact, in Ephesians 16, he says, "A wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Now, if it just said there's a wide door of ministry open for me, we go, "Oh, yeah, praise God, everything must be going great." But then he says there are many adversaries. There's many people trying to stop the work. Why? Because when you are bringing the light of Jesus Christ into a community like Corinth that was so wicked, when the light is turned on, their sins are exposed, and they don't like it. And they try to put it out. Paul didn't see it as a closed door. He saw it as a door wide open. You know, I wonder if many times if we think of opposition as doors closing for us. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, he was the predecessor to Martin Lloyd-Jones at Westminster Chapel in London, said this: "If there is no opposition in the place where you're serving, then you're serving in the wrong place." I think that's true. I remember the first week I came up here to be pastor of this church. And on the doorstep where we're at in the other building was this, I think it was like a 13-page letter written to me. Okay, I just came up here. I really don't know anyone. 13-page letter explaining to me why I shouldn't be the pastor of the church. Was there opposition? Yeah. Now, the person didn't sign it, so that kind of, you know, All right, I'm just going to put it aside. If you don't have the guts to put your name on it, fine. We are going to face opposition when you're serving Christ. There is no doubt at all. It's, are we willing to go the distance? Are we willing to continue on, forge ahead, even though it's tough? I think we need to not give up. Remember Jeremiah. I mean, some 40 years in ministry, right? And God told him, this is what you need to say. And Jeremiah, he had this huge cathedral, you know, it sat 5,000 people, right? He had all these people coming to listen to him. Oh, that's not in your Bibles?
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.